The Professional Quotient Podcast exists to really help people navigate the professional landscape and really put their best foot forward. And it is brought to you by a sponsor, MarketScale, that does the same thing for companies. They're empowering subject matter experts to becoming your content creators to bring your company into the 21st century. So be sure to check them out. And now we're going to have an awesome conversation with a very special guest. Welcome to Professional Quotient. I'm your host, Jason Winningham. And today we have a very special guest, Scott Kratchmer. Scott, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me here, Jason. Happy
Absolutely.
To be here.
Absolutely. I would love for you to take a moment to just introduce yourself to us, if you're so willing.
Absolutely. So my name is Scott Kratchmer, and I am the founder of Scott Kratchmer Coaching. I just launched earlier this year. I'm a middle-aged man who came out late in life, and it's been a journey. And seeing as you have mentioned imposter syndrome, in your podcast here, I have to say that is something that I have struggled with. And while I didn't use your term reposture, that's certainly how I went about overcoming it and coping with that. And now I use my powers to help others overcome things like imposter syndrome, among other things.
Sure. Can I ask you how you got into creating your own coaching? Like, what was your motivation behind that?
Absolutely. So for a number of years, I worked as a support worker in for marginalized communities. And not a bona fide social worker. I didn't have my degree in that. My degree is actually in history, but that's another story. So I started my career with support work back in 2008. And as time went on, I really fell in love with it. And I really enjoy seeing the potential come out of people and watching them realize their own potential. To me, that's just magic. And then what they go and do with that potential. And so fast forward a number of years, in 2024, my husband and I moved to the East Coast of Canada from West, and I needed something to do. And I decided I wanted to take that a little bit deeper, and I decided that I also wanted to work with queer men in like our community, and to help those who have also struggled with things like imposter syndrome, self-doubt, those self-limiting beliefs, people-pleasing, masking, hiding, coming out in general. All of those things that I at one time struggled with, and now I want to walk that journey with others and help them sort of step into their authentic selves. And that's what drew me to coaching, honestly. And I thought it was the best way to go about it. And I'm living in a rural area, so that allows me to coach virtually, which I love because I can meet folks from all over the world. And I think that's just wonderful because it gives me such a broad, just so many interesting people to work with.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned that you were a history major, and you did say that's another story, and that's great. But one of the things I've noticed is that a lot of us seem to have one thing in mind early in our careers, and then we might career pivot. So I'm curious, what did you want to do with the history degree when you were getting it?
That's a great story. And I should clarify this by saying, so there was there's a line, and there before that line is my pre-coming out years. After that line is my post-coming out years. And I know that coming out is like, it's a life, you're always coming out to someone. But
yes, you are. Mm-hmm.
In terms of coming out, I mean, everyone around me, all my close relations. So before coming out, I was choosing things, vocations that I got approval or that would please others.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having said that, when I went to university, I went a little bit later in life. I was 25 years old, and I went into university I with the intention of becoming a teacher. And history was one of my options that I took my very first semester, and I just fell in love with it. And that part was real. Like that was my choice, and I decided to major in it. And the thought at the time was, wow, I would love to be a professor of history, get into academia, that sort of thing. And I graduated university with honors, that I made it all the way. And I went to teach English overseas after that. The plan was to stay for a year.
Okay.
And I loved it so much that I stayed for three.
Nice.
And I was going to come back and go in and finish off doing my master's and my PhD. But that was during the period when I kind of fell apart from being in the closet so long. By falling apart, that meant I had to return to Canada, because I pretty much had a breakdown at that point. And so
we aren't living in our truth. That happens.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. 100%. So when I came back, that was in 2008, I came back to Canada, and, you know, I went to therapy and all that. And, really I was now out and was very relieved and happy about that. And I had to pick up my life. So I had to think about what I wanted to do, what I really wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, okay, I'm going to start volunteering somewhere. And I volunteered at this, it was a transitional shelter for hard to house men, who some of them had mental health, some of them had addictions. And I volunteered. I would go into the kitchen and I would help make lunches and help with some of the activities that they arranged during the day. And again, I just fell in love with it. There was something about helping people that just made me feel really good. And just having these people who, I don't know, they were in a place where before they didn't have anybody to listen to them. But in this place, I could be someone that would listen, in addition to my other coworkers. And it was just wonderful to be a part of that, because I know what it was like not being heard.
Mm.
And everything just sort of took off from there. I continued down the support worker role. I took an overnight. They actually ended up really liking me and they hired me full time. I took an overnight shift as a support worker. And then I moved into, later on, I moved to a different organization where I worked directly on the front lines in a community agency in a drop-in center. And then I moved directly into housing folks who were without housing or were in precarious housing situations. Again, I was very passionate about it. And this is the place where I really developed my PQ. And this is the place that gave me, this is the place where I overcame my self-doubt, my imposter syndrome. And I'm really thankful to the organization, because they allowed for that growth. They allowed me to make mistakes, to be human and to be me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was super important. And I flourished like I never had before.
I'm a huge proponent of allowing ourselves to just be human. We're not machines. We're not perfect. We're all on our own journey. We're all on our own timelines, and that's okay. And I don't know that we give ourselves enough permission for that. I think we love to beat ourselves up by not being perfect the first time we try something, or all of that. And so I appreciate you stating that. I'm curious, as a, now that you're in this field for coaching, what does your day-to-day look like? Do you have a typical day-to-day?
It can vary. It goes up and down. I'd like to talk about it more in terms of my week. It's more accurate to describe my week. So my week is pretty much mostly marketing, writing, networking, and coaching is about 20% of it, because and we use the 80-20 rule. And like, you have to do, because I'm self-employed, I wear all the hats. So it's like, I have to do all the other 80% of the things to keep myself going as a business. But I only get 20% of the time to do the thing that I actually really love to do, which is coach. And and don't get me wrong, I enjoy most aspects of the business. Mm-hmm. Like I like that admin time because it gives me time for myself. But I wish I had more time for more coaching and less time for marketing. Maybe when funds allow, I can hire somebody to market for me and I can do more coaching.
Absolutely. Well, that brings up a good point, because business owners, especially those that are founding something new, you hit the nail on the head. There's a lot of things that you are responsible for, not just your passion project, but how to kind of lift off your passion project and let people know about your passion project and let people know about your business. So do you have experience in marketing, or is that something you've had to learn on the ground?
A little bit of marketing experience, not in terms of like attracting clients or anything like that, but I've had to, my last 5 years as a support worker, I was actually in career development and I was facilitating. And so for those folks, I had to market the programs, but they were all free. So it was like, it wasn't hard to get people to come to the programs, but I had to market them to other agencies and to stakeholders, community stakeholders, internal programming, things like that. And then before I launched coaching last year, I just took on a seasonal position at a museum here, and I was a coordinator, and I had to market the events that we had during the season. And so I got a little bit more apt with social media marketing and that type of thing. But for the large part, I'd say it has been doing my own marketing for this business. It has been a learning curve, sometimes frustrating, sometimes really fun. I'm meeting lots of interesting people through the process, because when you do not just marketing, but you produce content as well, and you engage with people, and you have so many engaging conversations. And I love that part of it. Whether I get clients or not, it's just, I love sharing insights, hearing people's histories, how they got to where they are. It just fascinates me. So it can be a lot of fun, and it can also be, I guess my pain point right now is consistency, not in terms of how often I put things out there, but in terms of, oh, I've got this idea. I'm going to do this. No, I'm going to do this idea. No, I'm going to do this idea. And I need a little bit more consistency. While I think the ideas are great, I think I could also use some consistency. So, but that's okay. It's a learning curve, and I exercise a little bit of patience with myself on that note.
I have a good friend that continually reminded me not to boil the ocean. And what you were just saying kind of made me hear her words in my head again, because that's what it feels like when I have a lot of different things I want to do, and I want to go in a lot of different directions, and I have to kind of stop and say, that's good, but put a pin in it because you've got this as your priority right now. And this is what you need to run with. And you need to finish this before you go on to the next thing. And so that's a fun reminder, Scott.
Very fun and very crucial.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as coaching goes, was there someone that influenced you to get into this, like somebody that you looked up to and wanted to emulate that? Or is this just something you just developed this passion for through what you were sharing before getting involved in the community?
I did develop it on my own. But having said that, I through my years as a support worker, I had a couple of mentors, but one of them, my first real one, he's the one that always believed in my leadership abilities.
Nice.
I've never held a formal leadership title, but he always told me I was already a leader. Like, just develop it. But guess what stood in the way of me developing it? That big old imposter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, as time went on, I overcame that. I started to believe that, yes, I am capable of leading. But I decided that I wanted to lead in a different way. And so when I did career facilitation, I facilitated groups of up to 15 people. So there's leadership elements in there, lots of it. You need to have some of those qualities in there too. And when I looked at coaching, I thought if I was a leader in an organization, coaching would be my style of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the kind of mindset I already had. And then when I talked to my mentor about what I was doing with coaching, he was like, this is your calling. This is you 100%. Like he was not surprised at all.
Absolutely. That's awesome. I've also had a mentor that told me when I thought I didn't have leadership experience, I didn't have XYZ, and there were a lot of things I felt like I didn't have, she kind of reminded me that there were lots of areas in my life where I was demonstrating leadership and that it's really about framing it sometimes, because I too was very involved in kind of community building organizations. I started things like a sci-fi club and a creative writing club at work and a sustainability group and all those things that I was doing on the side of my desk that in my mind I was discounting because it wasn't an official title. And, oh, but my title isn't leader. So I kept thinking that I'm not. And she was so helpful to me by basically just throwing a brick through that window and shattering it that said, guess what? You already are doing this. You are leading. And so sometimes it's really helpful to speak with somebody else to help us reframe our own experiences, because it's not like she made things up. It was all true. It was just I wasn't viewing it that way. And it sounds like you had a similar kind of experience with a mentor.
100%. I didn't. My self-doubt was so strong that I didn't believe him at first. Like I was like, just cut that out. It took me a while to really. And then finally I was like, you know what? I believe it now.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And that's a great place to get to for sure. And we have shared that yes, I kind of I call it a reposture voice, but it's that voice that reminds us of what we have done. Because that the other voice, and I can't speak for you, but I'm interested. I can't say that the imposter voice really goes away. It's more that the reposture voice has a stronger, louder voice. How is that for you?
I have to 100% agree. It doesn't go away. It's so common, and sometimes I think we do it so unconsciously, but when we start reposturing, we become more aware of what we're doing. And I like to call it out. Mm-hmm. And say, oh, you again. That's when I start to reposture, and it grounds me. Mm-hmm. Whereas before I wouldn't call it out. And it would just fester and fester and fester in my head. And you have to call it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can do your reposture.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's definitely a stop. You stop and you go. It's directing the flow of traffic in your own mental, you know, capacities there. And that mental conversation that we have with ourselves. Okay. As far as our PQ goes, we like to say that this is a combination of our skills, our knowledge, our experience, our education, and our network or community. With those things in mind, what would you say is the most powerful aspect of your professional quotient right now?
I have to go with soft skills, and at the top of soft skills, I'd have to put relationship building, because that has played a pivotal role in everything I've done. Throughout my years, I've worked with stakeholders and clients and teams and different teams in my organization. And all of it had to do with relationship. I had to manage those, and I had to be open, collaborative. When you share a sense of purpose with other people, sometimes it can be really fun. So I would have to say that's where I've learned the most. Experience and education are up there as well, but I would put them below relationship building. Having said that, though, I wouldn't have developed the relationship building without the experience. So, and it led to me developing other skills, like in how I communicate and in problem solving approaches and things like that. And just in the different ways that we can learn education wise, whether you're learning in group settings or individually. So they've all played a role.
Awesome. Thank you for that. And there's no right or wrong answer. What the intent behind that question is to showcase within each episode of this podcast that each of us values different things, and each of those are things that help us along our path. And so I share that mostly, or I ask that mostly so that our audience, those out there, can realize that there's multiple ways they can be developing themselves. And speaking of developing, are there activities you use to continually raise your PQ?
Self-learning type things, like if I want to learn something about maybe a coaching technique, or if I want to learn something about our community, like say something, what is, I'm just pulling this out of my hat right now, but what is a common struggle that our young LGBTQ are struggling with these days, and see how I can really see if there's something I can relate to, if there's something that's changed over the years, things like that. I also do a lot of learning by, and I'm sure many people can relate to this, YouTube, podcasts, things like that, because that's where you get to hear stories. Storytelling is a very powerful way to learn and to share. So that's another way.
I feel like sharing stories resonates so well because it allows us to kind of almost join someone in their life experience as an audience member. Like we can start putting ourselves there, and it becomes more real to us than if we just read something that tells us move forward. But when you hear somebody that talks about how they move forward, it really puts us in there and allows us to connect much stronger. So I like that. Thank you. Speaking of challenges, each of us generally in life has to overcome challenges at some point in their professional career. Are there any challenges that you've overcome that you don't mind sharing with us?
Lack of confidence, the one that I've mentioned a few times now, imposter syndrome, self-doubt, that was a big one for me. People-pleasing was a big one for me, and masking. And What led me to make the change in that regard was actually burnout. I burnt myself out and fast in the very career that I was passionate about, support work. The reason, like I love support work, but I wanted to be the best support worker, and I wanted to really make a difference. And so I was doing everything I was, but at the same time, I was doubting my abilities. I'd go ahead and do things anyways, but I wasn't doing it with confidence, which mentally put a lot of pressure on me. And I would say yes to everything. It went south very fast. But I took a little bit of time off, and I came back sort of reinvented, because I thought, okay, if I want to do something I'm passionate about, something has to change. Mm-hmm. And that's when I became also passionate about workplace wellness. And in that capacity, I took it a step further. I initiated a wellness task force with a coworker of mine who was also passionate about that. This I saw, because burnout in nonprofit work, in this type of work, is very quite common.
Okay.
And so we wanted to do something, because there was good people in the organization and we hated seeing them go because of burnout. So we wanted to do something to create change. And we had support from leadership to launch the task force, and it went off successfully.
That's a really cool initiative to start. Wellness is so important. And I feel like we almost live in this culture that's all about work, 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 work. And I've said this earlier, but we need to take more moments where we remind ourselves that we're human, and humans need to rest. I mean, we have to go to sleep every single day just to survive. That's just rest is part of the holistic nature of who humans are. And when we don't take that time to check in on our wellness, we allow ourselves to get run down. And I also personally like to emphasize that mental health is the same as physical health, because it's part of our brain. And so there shouldn't be any stigmas on that, because we don't stigmatize when people have an infection in the lungs or an infection in the ear. We just provide the right care for it so that we can move forward. And it's no different with mental health. There are causes that get us to be in an unhealthy state, and then there's measures we need to take to get back into a healthy state. And there's measures we can always be doing ahead of time preemptively for good health, holistically, whether it's ears, lungs, blood, brain, whatever. So I love wellness programs in general, because I feel like we need more and more focus on that.
I have to agree 100%. And it's, I'm still shocked when I hear things like people still wear burnout as a badge, and like, why are we not learning? Like, because it's not just us that are impacted by burnout. Our productivity is impacted. The clients that we work with, if we work with clients, our teams, and then it spills over to our home life, because it affects our partners, our loved ones too. It's not just us.
It impacts others. And it's almost like a contagious yawn. When somebody yawns, and then all of a sudden other people in the room start yawning, it's just as contagious in the positive direction when we're taking care of one another and keeping each other lifted up. And then it's also just as contagious when we are wearing burnout like a badge. That's a great way to phrase that. Because we kind of, oh, I'm so miserable, but I'm going to kind of brag about being miserable. And all of a sudden, others want to do that. And so no matter what energy we're throwing out there, it seems like that becomes contagious, and it becomes like a wildfire. And so why not focus on the wellness aspect of it and spread the right kind of fire? So when it comes to being a coach, if somebody else is looking at you, Scott, and saying, I want to be a coach like Scott, what kind of advice would you give them if they're just getting started or like in their career at all or trying to make a career pivot?
One of the things I would say, well, there's a few things. It's not just a one and done thing. With coaching, you have to run it. You have to treat it seriously as a business because there's all those parts to it. And when you first start, it's going to be overwhelming. You're going to be like, what am I doing? What have I gotten myself into? And because you're going to be hit with things, if you've never run a business before, you're going to be hit with things that you've never done before and you have to learn them. And my advice to that is just keep moving forward, do small things at a time. You don't get stuck in, I've got this and this and this. I made the mistake of, there was a couple of days where I was just paralyzed because there was so much. I was like, I don't know what to do because there was so much. And I was talking it through with somebody else who is coaching, one of my coaching peers. And we talked about, like, you know, just start doing small things and put all that other stuff aside and keep moving forward with those small things. And that's what I started to do. And recognize that you have to recognize your small wins, no matter how small. If you got up in the morning and you showered and you got yourself to the table, that's a win because you're showing up is what you're doing. So celebrate those wins, tell people, build a support network around yourself, learn. And coaching is, it takes a while to build up a clientele. It's not, a lot of people might think it's get rich quick. It's not. And that's not why I went into coaching. I knew it was going to take time to build. You have to build trust. You have to build those relationships. You have to create visibility, credibility, all of those things. And that takes time.
Mm-hmm.
So luckily enough, I was able to get some funding to do this so that I don't have to work. But if I didn't get that funding, I would have had to work full time and do this on the side. And that's okay too. I was prepared to do that. But I was lucky enough, and I'm so thankful that I was able to get this support for a year. And if it comes down to it, I've accepted that if I'm not pulling in enough income to do this full time, I will work, and that's okay. I'm okay with that.
There's a lot involved with running your own business for sure, and I would throw in there that we need to lean in on others as much as possible through that process. Find somebody that knows how to get set up as an LLC or whatever you need to do for your business. Find somebody that knows how to market and just ask for a conversation with them just to learn a few good takeaways. You don't have to necessarily invest in a marketing guru to help you if you can just learn from them and get it going yourself. But if you are in a position where you can leverage the help of others, then by all means, take advantage of that too, because we always seem to achieve more when we work together as a group and lean in with others. So thank you for that. And then I'd love for each of our guests on this show to have an opportunity to share a spotlight or shine a spotlight on anything that they would like. And so I'd love for you to have this moment to share with us anything else that you'd like to.
There's actually two things. So
please,
if you're listening to this podcast right now, and if you are struggling with self-doubt, imposter syndrome, being in the closet, masking, hiding your identity, I want you to know that even if you are in the closet, you can still feel empowered. Being in the closet does not mean that you do not have any power. And I think a lot of people forget that. I know I certainly did. So, and in terms of overcoming those things, Start small. You don't have to take on Goliath in one day. Start with small things and you can build up that confidence. And the second thing is, and I know I'm probably tooting my own horn here, but I'm going to say
That's what this time is for.
Yeah, because I love working alongside you. If you're someone who wants someone to walk that journey with you, I'd be happy to do that. You can connect with me through Scott Krachmer Coaching. I'm on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and I have a website, scottkrachmer.com. You can, message me. We can have a conversation. There's no commitment to coach with me. We can just see if we're a fit, see if it's something for you. But this is something I'm very passionate because I've been there myself, and I want to help. I want to see other people get through it too. So that's it. And just keep, in today's climate, everyone, keep going, keep showing up, keep being you.
I appreciate that, Scott. And thank you. I think your passion certainly shines forth through your words and through your mission and what you do. So thank you for that. And thank you for taking the time to come share with us your insights and your voice here.
Thank you very much, Jason. It was a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. To our audience out there that's listening, please remember, if you've enjoyed this conversation, to like, share, review, and subscribe. And also, I love to always serve as a reminder that unlike our IQ or our EQ, we can really easily raise our PQ every single day. We just have to keep learning, building, and connecting. Until next time.